Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that sets us free. I pray that you will teach us today what you want us to learn so that we can grow to be more like you and shine our lights in this world that needs you so badly. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Matthew 24, verse 15 to 22, NLT. The time will come when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about, the sacrilegious object that causes desecration, standing in the holy place. Reader, pay attention. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills. A person outside the house must not go inside to pack. A person in the field must not return even to get a coat. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and for mothers nursing their babies in those days. And pray that your flight will not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for that will be a time of greater horror than anything the world has ever seen or will ever see again. In fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, the entire human race will be destroyed. But it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones. When it says, pay attention, other versions say, listener, understand, it's referring to Daniel's prophecies and the Jewish audience. People that Jesus was talking to were mostly Jewish, and they would have been aware of Daniel's prophecies. In Daniel 9:27, it says, he will make a treaty with the people for a period of one set of seven, but after half this time, he will put an end to the sacrifices and offerings. Then, as a climax to all his terrible deeds, he will set up a sacrilegious object that causes desecration, until the end that has been decreed is poured out on this defiler. And in Daniel 11:31, his army will take over the temple fortress, polluting the sanctuary, putting a stop to the daily sacrifices, and setting up the sacrilegious object that causes desecration. And then in Daniel 12:11, from the time the daily sacrifice is taken away and the sacrilegious object that causes desecration is set up to be worshipped, there will be 1,290 days. And blessed are those who wait and remain until the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. So Daniel is a prophet before Jesus' time, and the encouragement to him is, yes, you will rest, i.e. die physically, but at the end of the days, you will rise again and receive that inheritance. So there's hope for all of us. Even if we die before Jesus comes back, we will rise again to enjoy the inheritance that has been set aside for us. Jesus was prophesying about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, when Jerusalem was attacked and many Jews were killed. And this is referred to again in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 4. He will exalt himself and defy every god there is, and tear down every object of adoration and worship. He will position himself in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. In fact, it's worth reading the background verses to that, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1 to 8. And now, brothers and sisters, let us tell you about the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how we will be gathered together to meet him. Please don't be so easily shaken and troubled by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Even if they claim to have had a vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us, don't believe them. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy every good there is, and tear down every object of adoration and worship. He will position himself in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. So, as you can see, the lawless one is no big deal to Jesus and Father and Holy Spirit. He can be destroyed, consumed, by the breath of Jesus' mouth. and destroyed by the splendor of his coming. So when Jesus returns, all will be solved, all problems will be solved, all will be set to rights, and the evil one and his minions will be taken care of and dealt with. In Revelation 13, verse 14 to 15, and with all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast, he deceived all the people who belonged to this world. He ordered the people of the world to make a great statue of the first beast, who was fatally wounded and then came back to life. He was permitted to give life to this statue so that it could speak. Then the statue commanded that anyone refusing to worship it must die. Daniel himself experienced this. There was a statue made then, and people were ordered to worship it, and he refused. He only worshipped God and prayed to God, and he was thrown in the lion's den. So this is nothing new. It's happened before, but yeah, it looks like it might happen again. But many people are saying, what are we going to be facing in our lifetime? Is life going to be tough or lekker? But Jesus himself said in John 14, verse 1 to 3, don't be troubled. You trust God, now trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I am going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. So don't worry about what you're going to face in life. Jesus talking again in Luke 12, verse 22 to 34, said, then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, so I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or clothes to wear. For life consists of far more than food and clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns, because God feeds them, and you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. And if worry can't do little things like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you if you have so little faith? And don't worry about food, what to eat and drink. Don't worry whether God will provide it for you. These things dominate the thoughts of most people, but your Father already knows your needs. He will give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven, and the purses of heaven have no holes in them. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will also be. So as you can see, there is nothing to be concerned about, whether it's food or clothing or the future. In John 16, verse 1, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that you won't fall away, for you will be expelled from the synagogues, and the time is coming when those who kill you will think they are doing God a service. This is because they have never known the Father or me. Yes, I am telling you these things now, so that when they happen, you will remember I warned you. And his encouragement, one of my favorite verses, in John 16, verse 33, again Jesus speaking, I have told you all this, so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Then my other favorite verses that I live by, Philippians 4, verse 4 to 8. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So I encourage you to put your trust in the Lord. He has you, He holds you, He will never leave you nor forsake you. And so you will have the courage to shine your light.